continue to study the scriptures and affirm the importance of God's word in this world and in our lives. Not only in our lives, because again, I say that's not the point, but in this world. What we want to do here is we want to value God's word highly. We want to keep it at its proper place. And instead of, you know, me lecturing every week and that you benefit from my studies, although I want to do that, we then take turns. I study and then I share with you what I study. And then it's your turn to study and then share with one another what you study. We're here to study tonight about the Sabbath. We keep the Sabbath day holy. That oddly placed commandment, it seems. Every other command we kind of can understand. Don't steal, don't cheat, don't commit adultery, don't murder, honor your parents, have no other gods. That all makes sense. But when you throw the Sabbath in there, it's like, where did this come from? Kind of outer space coming right into us. We would never have invented that. But the Lord is so wise, and He's so perfect in making it as such. Hopefully you've had a chance to consider some of that this week, but I want to continue to encourage you to try more and more to get your Bible studies done. Think and ponder over them, because you will have so much more to offer in the small groups as we continue to try to sharpen one another and let the Scriptures be held in their high and right regard. You go back in the world the rest of the 6 days and it is not held highly at all. Very relative. But I want to just relay a kind of a preface, a couple of thoughts, and then read something, because I did not answer Goldie's question last week. I thought I was going to get to it, but I've got it for you here. But, you know, just a couple weeks ago, just to highlight something that came to my mind and came to Sandra in my mind, there was a moment, Sunday evening, a couple weeks ago, where Sandra and I started engaging in a discussion. And Sunday evening, putting the kids to sleep, we started our discussion. I don't remember what time it was, maybe 11:45 or so, 12 o'clock. And we engaged. And when Sandra and I discussed, and if it happens to be over something or over an issue that we're kind of a little testy about, then you see the way I teach up here, right? It gets kind of like that. Don't feel sorry for her, though. She holds her own. So it's a discussion that turned into an argument, maybe. But I don't think we ever got that far. In the past, we have. I mean, we're on, okay, let's get off the boxing gloves and let's go at it, man. You know? But this one, I think we kind of kept, but yet we didn't sleep till 2:30 in the morning. Disgusting. I don't know, maybe you guys understand. So then we get up at 7 o'clock on Monday morning to bring Nathaniel to school, which is what we do. And on Mondays, we take Nathaniel to school, and then we go to the Langham Huntington Hotel, where we go, and we have a time together from about 8 to 9:30, Bible study or discussion or whatever we do. So we end up continuing this discussion from Sunday. And we're discussing, and we're kind of looking over our shoulders to see if anyone's listening, because it's getting a little bit loud here. So this is not the way we should not be talking like this here, because it's too loud. We go outside because it's a little quieter there. And we're discussing, you know, kind of going back and forth on this. So it's time to go, get back home, get the kids, you know, situated, and school is supposed to start. I've got work to do, I've got phone calls to make, etc. We come back home, but we're not quite settled yet. But I do have my phone calls, I've got stuff, you know, everyone's got stuff to do. Then we end up going upstairs and talking some more. So we've got lessons to do with the kids. So I think it's Daniel or someone who comes in the room, are we going to do our lessons? They say, no, go do your own work right now. We're Daddy and Mommy are talking. And so 10 o'clock, 10:30, 11 o'clock, 11:30. We don't finish this discussion, argument, till about noon. And the whole morning is gone, right? But we came to some peace. Well, like a good tennis match, it ended in love. So we end up on the bed, and we're hugging at that point, Hugh. And the kids come in. You know, good. We're in peace. So Sandra makes lunch, and we pray. And as I'm praying, suddenly the thought all just comes to the fore. Because what Sandra was also sharing with me towards the very end of our discussion, we said, you know, she said, thank you very much for taking the time, for thinking it important enough to discuss this through, even though I know you have a lot of stuff to do. And you've got all these things to do, but, you know, it shows me you love me. But you spent that time, and we spent the whole morning, whole night, and you were willing to talk about it, and we talked it all the way through. And we didn't really have that time to give, but we gave it, because we just had to. It dawned on me as I was praying at lunch, that's it. There's one of the keys of the Sabbath. That there's a day that is meant to be given with no time constraints, because we are people who live by the clock. We are dominated by time. Every moment of every day is marked by time. You've got schedules, you've got bells ringing, you've got lunch hour, you've got this, you've got whole things that are just moving your life. You're on this treadmill. And if you ever, I don't know, interesting enough, did you ever think of this, that in heaven, there's no time? Interesting. In heaven, there's no time. That when we have the Sabbath too, I'll tell you this, as one who leads at church, I said this that very morning when we were praying. I said, you know, sometimes being at church is agitating to me when I'm on Sunday morning, or if I lead worship, because I know everyone's telling me about the time. When I'm doing the emceeing for worship, I've got to keep moving the thing along. So worship, well, I've got to make sure it's constrained within time. You feel that pressure instead of just being able to worship as long as it takes. But I've got that pressure. If I'm doing the presiding, got to keep moving it because the Cantonese department is coming in. We're moving out. Sunday school sometimes is agitating, and they're agitated because I keep them long. But I'm agitated because I got to stop. Because time keeps telling us what we can and cannot do, how long we can go. And so sometimes even the church service gets agitating because of the puncture of time within what is sometimes a sacred moment. What was revealed to me that morning was that time was going to be put on hold, and it was going to be held at bay because our relationship demanded it. That wasn't going to drive us. What was going to drive us is that we get right. And as I thought of the Sabbath, I said, there it is. Because on the Sabbath, we're not supposed to do anything of that kind of thing that moves us and drives us and gets us clicking. I mean, I hate it when I have lunch with somebody. You know, they schedule me in with, I'm the third meeting out of five for them. I feel like, you know, it's just, I'm glad to catch a little bit of time, but at the same time, it just gets agitating. It's just not peaceful. But when you're with the Lord on your Sabbath and you don't have anything else on the schedule because that's the way He wants it, then you can take the time as long as it takes to work out the issue with the Lord. As long as it takes to have Him tell you what He wants to tell you, and instead of telling Him, you know, you've got another half an hour, then I got to go. But the Lord might have something to say to you, and He wants to say it in His own time, in His own sweet, slow way. So it sinks in and it gets there. And that came so clear to me. So the whole day is for you. Take as much time as you need. It's like if one of you gave me the time just to spend the whole day with you without, okay, we got 2 hours and I got to go. And you know, sometimes I do that to you. But if we had the whole day, what would you do? How would it be just to spend time in the presence of? And so what your question was is, what do they do on the Sabbath? Do you remember asking that? Yeah. And I thought I was going to get to it. I didn't. But let me just read to you an excerpt from a typical Shabbat, a typical Sabbath, from a Jewish perspective, coming from a Jew. And contrary to what a lot of us think, that we think, oh, they're so legal keeping. They're doing it just to keep the law, and it's really drudgery and this and that. I think it's often like what outside people who are not Christians sometimes think. You ever go to somebody and then they say, I can't be a Christian. I don't want to be a Christian because then I got to start obeying all these rules and regulations. Then I have to give up this. I have to quit that. I have to do all these things, right? You've ever heard of that?
Yeah.
And you're inside, if you are a real Christian, you're inside saying, it's not like that. right? You said, no, it's not like that. We want to do these things. And you know, they're thinking, who would ever want to do that and cut out and wake up early on Sunday morning and all that stuff. I can't smoke, I can't do that. And you know, you're saying, no, you missed it. And I think sometimes we miss it. So here it is, just from the Jewish, I think, tourism website, something like that. And he describes it. He says, about 2 p.m. or 3 p.m. on Friday afternoon, observant Jews leave the office to begin Shabbat preparations. The mood is much like preparing for the arrival of a special beloved guest. The house is cleaned. The family bathes and dresses up. The best dishes and tableware are set. A festive meal is prepared. In addition, everything that cannot be done during Shabbat must be set up in advance. Lights and appliances must be set, or timers must be placed on them if the household does so. The light bulb in the refrigerator is removed, so it does not turn on when you open it. Preparations for the remaining Shabbat meals must be made. The Sabbath, like all Jewish days, begins at sunset, because in the story of creation in Genesis 1, you will notice that it says, and there was evening and there was morning one day. From this, we infer that a day begins with evening, that is sunset. Shabbat candles are lit and a blessing is recited no later than 18 minutes before sunset. This ritual, performed by the women of the house, officially marks the beginning of the Sabbath. Two candles are lit, representing the two commandments, Zakor and Shamor. The family then attends a brief evening service, 45 minutes. That's brief by Jewish standards. After services, the family comes home for a festive and leisurely dinner. Before dinner, it is customary for parents to bless their children. Then the man of the house recites Kiddush, a prayer over wine sanctifying the Sabbath. The usual prayer for eating bread is recited over two loaves of challah, a sweet eggy bread shaped in a bread and a braid. The family then eats dinner. And although there are no specific requirements or customs regarding what to eat, meals are generally stewed or slow-cooked items because of the prohibition against cooking during the Sabbath. After dinner, Birkat HaMazon is recited, grace after the meal. And although this is done every day on the Sabbath, it is done in a leisurely manner with many upbeat tunes. And by the time all of this is completed, it may be 9 p.m. or later. The family has an hour or two to talk or study Torah, the Jewish Bible, then go to sleep. The next morning, Shabbat services begin around 9 a.m. and continue until about noon. After services, the family says Kiddush again and has another leisurely festive meal. A typical afternoon meal is kalant, a very slow-cooked stew. And by the time Birkat HaMazon is done, it is about 2 p.m. The family studies Torah for a while, talks, takes an afternoon walk, plays some checkers, engages in other leisurely activities. A short afternoon nap is not uncommon. It is traditional to have a third meal before the Sabbath is over. This is usually a light meal in the late afternoon. Shabbat ends at nightfall when three stars are visible, approximately 40 minutes after sunset. And at the conclusion of Shabbat, the family performs a concluding ritual called Havdalah, separation or division. Blessings are recited over wine, spices, and candles. Then a blessing is recited regarding the division between the sacred and the secular, between the Sabbath and the working days. As you can see, Shabbat is a very full day when it is properly observed and very relaxing. You really don't miss being unable to turn on the TV, drive a car, or go shopping. Oh, for some of us, what it would be like to have a day like that. To just hang back and say, Lord, what do you want to say to me today? What should we go over? Can we talk here? And to have the time without the pressure and the tyranny of the moment to have those moments with the Lord and have time for Him as long as you want, as long as it takes, it's fine because this day is yours. Today we're going to consider, well, the Sabbath is not a specific day for us, but for most of us, it is Sunday. We're going to consider our thoughts, our actions, our doings. And we've got to not only consider, but reconsider how we live our Sundays out. Is it the Sunday morning service and possibly Sunday school? And then we're done and out? what does the whole day entail? It is my belief that if we pay more attention to this particular day and how we set it aside and the way it impacts the rest of our day, and we make some changes and adjustments in our lives, that this day will serve and become a real resting hole, a real watering place, a real place of nourishment and sustenance for us. A day where we can enjoy the Lord's presence. So that's what we want to engage in today. Discussing, getting into God's mindset. What does He have in mind when He's giving us this? And then coming up with some practical ways that we can go ahead and make some decisions on how we live our Sabbath days. So let's pray together and then let's get going. Lord, we thank You for Your wisdom that surpasses all understanding. Thank You that we don't live by human wisdom alone, but by wisdom that is just beyond the stars, set right in creation. We ask that You would override our flesh, for the Spirit sets itself against the flesh, and the flesh sets itself against the Spirit. But Lord, the Spirit must win out tonight, so that we redeem this time, not merely the time of chronology, but the moment of time that is ours. Thank You for Your faithfulness and for Your long-suffering and in enduring the deeds and the wayward thoughts of us, Your unfaithful, really unfaithful harlots. We pray that You would continue to grant us Your forgiveness by Your grace and inspire us tonight to how to make our times with You that much more meaningful and that much more honoring to You. It would be our honor to do so. And so we ask for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Okay, let's get going. As usual, stand.